Google just built a computer that solved a problem in 5 minutes that would take our best supercomputers 10 septillion years. It's not a typo. That's 10 with 24 zeros after it. The universe is only 13.8 billion years old, so we're talking about a computer that just did something cosmically impossible. And Google isn't alone. Microsoft and Amazon are racing to crack quantum computing too, each with wildly different approaches. And after decades of being the much-hyped the future, quantum computing suddenly feels like it's arriving all at once. So what changed? And should you care about computers that need to be colder than outer space to just work? I'm Matt Farrell. Welcome to Undecided. This video is brought to you by Ground News. So what is quantum computing, or just QC for short? Well, to many, it's definitely QC. Quite complicated. So if you want an in-depth lesson that gets into all the bits and pieces, or should I say the qubits and pieces, you can check out my video from a little while ago. Here's a condensed version. Now, classical computers use binary bits to encode information, zeros and ones. Quantum computers are different because they use quantum bits, or qubits. Operations on qubits can exploit quantum physics weirdness like superposition and entanglement, which basically allows them to process much, much more data in a lot less time. This is extremely relevant to performing complex tasks, ones that would take even supercomputers an astronomically long time to do. By making these problems solvable within minutes rather than years, QC has the potential to transform a ton of fields, if it can make it practical. Now, QC could be used for everything from discovering superconducting materials to finally overcoming the limits on solar cell efficiency. But here's the catch. Quantum computers are incredibly fragile. They're so sensitive that they make your moody teenager look emotionally stable. The qubits themselves have a tendency to collapse or flip states from stray magnetic fields, temperature fluctuations, even tiny vibrations. It's like writing a marriage proposal in beach sand. You need your message to last long enough to be read, but it's constantly under threat of just being wiped away. This tendency to collapse is called decoherence. And with all these errors, quantum computers, I guess you could say, are kind of going through a phase. Current fault rates typically run 1% to 0.1%, depending on the type of qubit and the operation. That means one out of every 100 to 1,000 operations fails. That's far from the 1 in 10 billion error rate that's needed for practical applications. But we've been chipping away at quantum computing for decades. So what's happening now, and is it worth the hype? Here's where things get interesting. The last few months have seen major quantum computing announcements from tech giants. And if you weren't paying attention, you'd be forgiven for wondering why big tech is suddenly interested in potatoes. Because everybody's talking about chips. But these aren't the kind that you can dip in salsa. In December 2024, Google introduced Willow. No, not my dog, but its latest quantum computing chip that pulled off a computation literally in cosmic scale. Then Microsoft revealed Majorana 1 in February, named for the Majorana particles that are key to its design, which sounds like something that you need a prescription for. Now, the chip uses a specially resilient type of qubits called a topological qubit. Microsoft claims it will solve meaningful industrial scale problems in years, not decades. The very next week, Amazon debuted its new chip, Ocelot. Quantum computers may be a completely different kind of Metal Gear, but sharp shooting is just as important. It's fitting, then, that Ocelot's main strength is accuracy. Amazon claims that Ocelot's feline form of architecture, and I do mean that literally, cuts the cost of quantum error correction by up to 90%. What's fascinating is that each company is taking a radically different approach to the same fundamental problem, quantum error correction. Google is going big with more qubits, Microsoft is betting on exotic particles that may not exist yet, and Amazon is getting clever with cats. Well, quantum cats. But first, let me show you something interesting about how we get our information about these breakthroughs. Depending on where you read about quantum computing, these developments are either the dawn of a new computing era or just another overhyped tech bubble. When stories mix cutting-edge physics, billion-dollar investments, and claims about solving the universe's hardest problems, it's easy to get lost in the quantum noise. So how do you know if you're getting the full picture? Well, that's where today's sponsor, Ground News, comes in. Created by a former NASA engineer, Ground News pulls from over 50,000 sources and breaks down political bias, credibility, ownership, and even financial incentives behind the coverage. Great example? Take the story about the Pentagon signing contracts with some of the leading AI companies. With one click, I can see the summary and political bias, ownership details, and a factuality breakdown for every outlet that's covering it. A center-leaning source presents it as a straightforward deal where all the big AI companies received $200 million from the Pentagon. A left-leaning one highlights how Grok won a big contract after its chatbot's anti-Semitic meltdown. And a right-leaning source? It frames it as Elon Musk winning a major deal from the Trump administration. If you're watching my channel, you probably like to dig deeper. Ground News helps you compare stories, spot bias, and catch what others might miss. I especially like the blind spot feed. It shows stories underreported by one side of the spectrum. It's helped me to recognize my own blind spots and understand the nuance that's behind the headlines. For a limited time, you can get the same plan I use for nearly half off. Just head to ground.news/undecided or scan the QR code to save 40% off their Vantage plan. Thanks to Ground News and to all of you for supporting the channel. Now let's dive into how these three tech giants are each trying to achieve quantum supremacy, or should I say quantum accuracy. So why are we seeing so many advancements right now? Well, recent years have seen massive investment from tech giants, startups, and pharmaceutical companies. Meanwhile, advances in material science and quantum algorithms have matured alongside improved computing power, creating the perfect storm for breakthroughs. But what's really interesting about this cornucopia of chips is that each company emphasizes the same breakthrough: quantum error correction. When it comes to the errors, these computers really need to get their act together, or should I say get their qubit together. Now, the problem isn't getting an output from quantum computers, it's getting the right one and being able to interpret it. That being able to interpret it part is key, because usually bigger quantum systems create more errors than they solve, at least until now. Now, each of these companies chose a fundamentally different path to tackle quantum error correction, and understanding their strategies reveals just how challenging this problem really is. Microsoft is fascinated with Majorana particles. Think of them as quantum safes, incredibly good at protecting information from errors, but equally hard to crack open when you need that information back. It's like having the world's best security system that won't even let you into your own house. But there's a big problem. Majorana particles might not actually exist, or at least Microsoft has not convincingly proven that they've created them. Leading theoretical physicist John Preskill stated that Microsoft had yet to release any performance data to back up its claims. Professor Jonathan Oppenheim of University College London told Fortune, "There is a massive disconnect between the scientific article and their public claims, but the most obvious one is that they haven't shown that they have a topological qubit." The editors even took the rare step of highlighting this. This isn't Microsoft's first rodeo with questionable Majorana claims. Back in 2018, Microsoft said it found strong evidence of these particles, only to retract that statement later, citing insufficient scientific rigor. Still, if Microsoft's approach works, it could be revolutionary. These topological qubits can be controlled through simple voltage pulses, basically just flipping a light switch. Microsoft envisions stringing together millions of qubits to tackle the most complex problems. Of course, there's more than one way to skin a cat, or count a qubit. Amazon's Ocelot takes a different approach. Instead of a novel architecture or brute forcing qubit numbers, Amazon's strategy is efficiency. Ocelot uses 4 transmons for stability plus 5 cat qubits as its primary data qubits. And transmons are common in superconducting quantum computing, which is not the most powerful, but it is notably noise resistant. Cat qubits are cheekily named after Schrodinger's famous thought experiment. And just like that theoretical cat that's both dead and alive until you check, these qubits exist in 2 extremely different states at once. And because those states are so different, like hot and cold, or Taylor Swift and death metal, it's really hard for errors to flip between them. This design means that Ocelot doesn't waste energy constantly checking for decoherence. This strategy requires only a tenth as many qubits per bit of information, making the chip both error-resistant and energy-efficient. Amazon's quantum hardware head, Oscar Painter, estimates that a fully-fledged quantum computer capable of transformative societal impact would require as little as 1/10 of the resources associated with standard quantum error-correcting approaches. The hope is that this efficiency will make Ocelot easy to operate and to scale to commercial production. However, like Microsoft's claims, this remains mostly theoretical. Ocelot is just a proof-of-concept prototype with comparatively meager computing capability. Amazon admits that the next goal is to add more qubits, encode more information, and perform actual computations. Then there's Google. Google's trying to scale up its quantum computer. I guess they're really just trying to tip the scales in their favor. Simply put, Google's strategy is the more qubits, the better. Willow packs 105 superconducting qubits, a lot compared to everybody else, except IBM. In quantum computing, you stitch qubits into a lattice called a surface code. Each surface code represents a single logical qubit. Bigger lattice can tolerate more errors, so Google is going big. But here's the catch. Each added qubit is another potential failure point. Usually bigger lattices create more errors than they solve. But here's where things get really interesting. Willow is the first quantum processor to demonstrate an exponential reduction in error rates as qubits increase. The bigger the lattice, the more error-resistant it becomes. This below-threshold performance has eluded researchers since error correction was introduced in 1995. The breakthrough allowed Willow to perform that benchmark computation in under 5 minutes that would take today's fastest supercomputers 10 septillion years. For context, as I said before, the universe is only 13.8 billion years old, so calling this a radical improvement would be a bit of an understatement. However, we're still in the realm of theory and proof of concepts. These tests mostly showcase Willow's quantum advantage over classical computers in very specific artificial benchmarks. They're pretty far removed from the kind of tasks that you'd actually want a quantum computer to do in a commercial setting. And Willow, like many quantum chips, needs to be kept super cool. Colder than what kids set the thermostat to when you're not looking. Now, before you start planning your quantum-powered gaming rig, we need to talk about reality. These are serious challenges to overcome before quantum computing can hit usable scales, let alone the commercial space. The biggest question mark is around the software side of quantum computers. While the hardware side of QC is advancing quickly, as we've just discussed, the software needed to decode and decipher the results appears to be lagging behind. Error correction algorithms, or as I call it, autocorrect for atoms, still need work. At the end of the day, we have to remember that quantum computers are very specialized machines. They're not meant to replace the classical computers that we use every single day. So don't expect one to dethrone another anytime soon, or ever. Instead, QC will open up new possibilities where today's computers fall short. The billion-dollar question, when will it actually hit the market? And to answer that, let's turn to NASA's handy-dandy technological readiness level, or TRL scale. QC implementations vary wildly in the readiness, but most are still in the lab with proof of concepts on those lab benches. By definition, this puts most approaches at a 3 or a 4 on NASA's TRL scale, though some companies claim higher levels for specific implementations. However, I think the speed and diversity of these breakthroughs bode well for the future, and I'm not alone. According to a 2023 report, 75% of the 500 QC experts polled said they expect quantum computing to reach TRL of 8 or 9 by 2032. Now keep in mind though that these levels aren't guaranteed indicators of widespread commercial availability or significant market penetration. I guess we'll have to just let the chips fall where they may. So here's my take. We don't know what we don't know. Sometimes figuring out what's possible requires going beyond theory and into practical application. And having the hardware ready allows for that. The diversity of approaches like Google's brute force, Microsoft's exotic particles, and Amazon's efficiency focus, it suggests that at least one of these paths might lead to practical quantum computing. That said, the timeline remains very uncertain. Whether we see meaningful quantum applications in 5 years or 15 years depends not just on solving the hardware challenges, but in developing the software ecosystem, training quantum programmers, and finding the killer applications that justify the enormous complexity and cost. But what do you think? Will we see quantum computers in use within our lifetimes? Are these splashy headlines more reflective of quantum leaps or leaps of faith? Jump in the comments and let me know. And over on Patreon, I've got an extended version of this video with even more bits to flip. And big welcome to new producer Corky and Supporter Plus member, the Dakota family. If you'd like to join, the link's in the description. And be sure to listen to my follow-up podcast, Still to be Determined, where we'll keep this conversation going. Keep your mind open, stay curious, and I'll see you in the next one.